Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to a summer shift of the Ice Time podcast here at BuffaloNews.com. I'm news sports reporter Mike Harrington, along with Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay. And even though it's July, there's no shortage of things to talk about here regarding the Buffalo Sabres and the NHL. And Rachel, I guess the first thing I wanted to breach with you here is the question everybody seems to have. Does it feel like the Sabres are, quote, done, unquote, in the wake of free agency and the draft?
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I look at the Sabres, they spent their free agency money investing in Josh Doan and Zach Benson, solid investments, players who management regard as leaders in the immediate future of this team. You know, we had the departure of Alex Tuch, the free agency signing. You know, I shouldn't really say it was a free agent, the re-signing of Beck Malenstein, a key component, fifth in the NHL in hits. Peyton Krebs is the internal loose end. But if we want to go in that direction, you know, are the Sabres done? You can also ask that of a lot of teams in the NHL, because there are still some big name free agents out there. There's still some deals to be done. And I know cottage season, as they refer to the slow season of August and the NHL, is it's quickly approaching. There's still time for things to happen as well, too. So I don't know. You know, and then we're going to talk more about the possibility of Connor Hellebuck, the deals that may have been talking about this as well. And that could still be a possibility. But it's hard to say what Jarmo Kekalainen and his staff could pull out of their sleeves at this point as well. I mean, we get a call tomorrow that, I don't know, maybe Patrick Kane or Anthony Mantha is coming to the Sabres to kind of fill that wing hole left by Alex Tuch. What do you think?
How many forwards does this team have?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true.
Peyton Krebs is, you know, heading for arbitration. Even with losing Alex Tuch, they have an abundance of forwards. They're bringing in Hellenius now in a full-time role. Mm-hmm. Östlund in a full-time role. Yuri Kulik ostensibly will be healthy. Mm-hmm. It feels like, are they done? Maybe more of who are they subtracting more than who they're adding here? It's a strange feeling right now, because you're right. As we look, July 9th, 10th range, normally most of the business of the league is done, and everybody, like you say, is off to Muskoka and see you later into early September when things might kick off again. But that list of potential guys out there is still long enough where there's things for people to do here. And you're not looking at a lot of teams jammed up on the cap anymore with the cap mm-hmm. going up. So it's a weird time. And you say to yourself, obviously the Sabres are not as good without Alex Tuch and Bowen Byram, but you know, they were a 109-point team. They're not an 84-point team now. They're probably a 98 to 101-point team. So they could use, everyone loves the whole narrative, oh, they need another top six forward. Well,
and of course, there's the hometown nostalgia about, oh, if Patrick Kane could come back, right. Part of me is thinking, if Patrick Kane was coming back to Buffalo, he'd be back by now. He would have signed. He would have moved back. He would have found the house in Hamburg and cleaned that off. But it hasn't happened yet. And we're going to talk about this a little more. I also wonder how Connor Bedard's injury and subsequent surgery is going to change the calculus in Chicago for what happens with their lineup as well. But it's true. You bring up a good point. This team has a surplus of forwards. But the problem is with the surplus, they're not fully tested over the course of the season. That's what we're going to find out this year with Konstantin Hellenius and Noah Östlund. You know, how are they going to fare over the course of 84 games, not 82?
Now, let's talk a little about Patrick Kane here. Let's get to the point. The first point you just said is absolutely it to me. If you were going to sign Patrick Kane, and if Patrick Kane wanted to sign with the Buffalo Sabres, wouldn't he have done that at 2:30 p.m. on July 1st?
It made our day a little busier that day, right?
Right, but it seems like that would have been done. Now, I think Patrick Kane has a fit in Toronto, for sure, mm-hmm. helping their power play. And Gavin McKenna, who did he say? We heard it, had him here for 2 days. How many times did you hear him say his idol was Patrick Kane? Wouldn't that make sense?
And how do the with Toronto, how do the analytics shape up to project Patrick Kane? I mean, I know he's the top American-born goal scorer on paper, but he's good for 15, 20 goals a year if he manages ice time properly. You know, considering
he's not
a young pup anymore.
No. And the other thing is everyone knows Patrick Kane is not going to do much for you on the defensive end. And I would think an analytics-driven team like the Leafs are heading right now is going to want more of a two-way game out of anybody they bring in. The Sabres have a need maybe on the power play. Again, you'd have to figure out where Patrick Kane would fit in the lineup. He's not a top six player, I don't think, on this club. But here's the other point, and you also just mentioned this in passing briefly, and it's important.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your one-stop shop for windows, siding, and doors. It's fast, easy, and affordable, backed by the strongest lifetime warranty in the business. See why homeowners love us. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com today.
I think the day of Patrick Kane with the Blackhawks had kind of passed, and the Blackhawks were ready to move on to their new era. They let Jonathan Toews come back and retired in Winnipeg. They let Patrick Kane move on. He's been in Detroit now for 3 years. I think the Chicago Blackhawks have a serious need. They have a need for offense in the wake of Connor Bedard's injury, and they have a massive need in the feel-good area. You can all you want about Bowen Byram, and I don't think Bowen Byram, as much as we respect the job he did here, Bowen Byram isn't moving the needle on people in Chicago feeling good about the Blackhawks. Now the news is out that Connor Bedard had shoulder surgery and is probably going to be out 4 or 5 months.
Is mismanaged the right word to use about Chicago's recent predicament? Just their perpetual losing and whatnot. And I say this also in talking with some of the Blackhawks writers back in the spring when I was out in Chicago. And I said, you know, I asked about Connor Bedard in particular. And I said, what's going on with him? You know, he didn't look like the Connor Bedard I was expecting. And they said, he checked out about a month ago. You know, he's ready for the season to end and blah, blah, blah. And that was a big red flag to me to hear that your future investment is kind of, I'm done with this for the season. Let's move on to next season as well. Is mismanagement the right word to apply to the Blackhawks at this point?
No, mismanagement is not the right words.
Okay.
The right words to cover the Blackhawks are, what the bleep are they doing? I don't know what they're doing.
Which,
I don't get it.
Technically, you can be mismanaged and ask, what the F are they doing?
I don't get it. I don't understand. We go back to you.
I don't understand Kyle Davidson's protocols.
Right.
No.
You traded the number 4 pick in the draft to the Buffalo Sabres. Good on Jaromo Kekäläinen and the Buffalo Sabres. What were the Chicago Blackhawks doing on that deal? And they took Jordan Greenway's salary without any salary retention.
So.
You know, I get it. They're low. They got to get to the floor. I get it.
Yeah, they have to. But at the same time, you're like, you know, and no disrespect to Bowen Byram, but it's like, congratulations. You're the number one defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks on a team that's not going to have their franchise player in for a month that, you know, kind of has this black cloud around them as well, too.
Even if Connor Bedard was playing, how many times did we hear Bowen Byram say how miserable the 24-25 season was in Buffalo because all he knows is winning, and he won a Stanley Cup in Colorado? How many times did we hear how enjoyable this season was because the Buffalo Sabres were winning? So then Bowen Byram turns around and they deal him, and he basically wants out, and he goes to Chicago, and I'm just, my head hurts from this stuff. Now, granted, I'm sure he would have preferred to go to San Jose, in theory, much better chance to win, but, you know, Buffalo Sabres weren't getting the number 2 pick in the draft, I don't think, for Bowen Byram. But yeah, Bowen Byram is going to see the Stanley Cup playoffs next spring only if he buys a ticket or if he turns on his big screen TV, because he's not going to be in them with the Chicago Blackhawks anyway. So that brings us back to, as we got a little off into Bowen Byram, why did we start talking about this?
Because Kane and the possibility of Chicago. And
because
they may have to do it. And you and I have talked a little bit about, you know, Patrick Kane, what could be the possibilities. And we said those three teams, Buffalo, you know, that's kind of the wish list for a lot of Sabres fans. Let's be real. The nostalgia of bringing back local boy. Chicago as well. And Toronto. And I didn't think about Toronto. That was just, I just overlooked. That was my thing. But you know, I put him on the hot board that I had done about, who could they possibly pick to fill Alex Tuck's hole? But The whole Alex Tuck left, but at the same time, it was kind of like, is this reasonable? Like you said, considering all the forwards this team has, the fact that the Sabres are investing in the younger forwards, you know, monetary wise, Zach Benson and Josh Doan, and trusting guys like Konstantelainis and Noah Oslund with more playing time and saying, we want you to grow into these roles. This is your responsibility now.
It is. And I think in some respects, Patrick Kane blocks that. You know, he was close to a point a game player in Detroit. You know, you can't deny that. And he, I think the stat was he had more power play assists last year for the Red Wings than anyone on the Sabres roster did except for Tage Thompson. So could Patrick Kane bring the Sabres some value? Yes, on the power play, but it does go back to the whole situation of construction, roster management, and if you're bringing in Patrick Kane or anybody else, I know in the past you've mentioned Anthony Manta, other people have mentioned Anthony Manta, or whoever else you want to bring in here, the Sabres have too many forwards. And, you know, we can look at the numbers and the names right now, and we don't know about Justin Danforth's health, but let's be honest, if he's healthy and can play, Justin Danforth's going on waivers and training camp at some point.
And Sam Parrott took his job, essentially.
Yeah, I mean,
fourth line center with good faceoff skills. Sam Carrick won that job at that position.
So, I mean, there's one I've just taken care of right there. There's a lot of rumors about different guys, but it's a logjam at forward that I wrote about in Inside the NHL a couple weeks ago. And adding Patrick Kane is simply going to add to the logjam of it. So, to me, it's still out there. It is a little weird. You know, is Patrick Kane waiting for some clarity on the Dylan Larkin situation? It doesn't sound like he's going back to Detroit, but, you know, it doesn't sound like Yzerman's quick to trade Dylan Larkin either. So maybe Patrick Kane will go back for another year.
Steve Yzerman's hard-headed in this situation.
Right.
Dylan Larkin, for now, you know, granted, this franchise hasn't made the playoffs since 2016. Hate to say it, Dylan Larkin's the face of the Detroit Red Wings.
And, I mean, they're not giving him up for peanuts on the dollar here.
No.
You know, they don't have to. This is what is going on in this league right now. Dylan Larkin's under contract, just like Brady Tkachuk was in Ottawa. Steve Yzerman is not going to be pushed up against the wall here. So that could be impacting Patrick Kane's thinking, too. But I think it does go back to what you said right at the top here. It feels like a Patrick Kane deal to Buffalo would already be done. I gotta believe how much Chicago's attention turns back to a reunion in the wake of the Bedard news is really where I'm heading right now.
Yeah, that was my first thought. You and I were on the same page when we discussed this yesterday. And I said, when I saw the news about Connor Bedard being out after left shoulder surgery, I believe it was. It's one of two shoulders. But, first thing I thought was, well, sets him up to bring back Patrick Kane and bring some good vibes back to Chicago as well. So now that we're on this topic about, you know, the possibility of Patrick Kane, there was also the possibility of Mr. Vezina, Mr. Hart Trophy, Mr. Gold Medal, Connor Hellebuck possibly coming to the Sabres through a trade. You know, is that still on the table? Is that still a possibility? You know, what do you think about that?
This is like such an elephant in the room. All right. There's no question as I drop my phone all over the floor here. Excuse me, folks. There's no question that there were heavy talks with the Winnipeg Jets about Connor Hellebuck as we sat there on draft night. By all accounts, the Winnipeg Jets would not flip picks with the Buffalo Sabres. They would not give the Sabres the eighth pick as part of the deal. And that was a heavy condition for the Sabres. If we're giving you the fourth pick and this and this and this for Connor Hellebuck, you're also giving us the eighth pick. That did not happen. All right, now the draft is over. So picks are out. The Buffalo Sabres don't have a number four pick to trade for Connor Hellebuck, which would have been a pretty big thing for the Winnipeg Jets to acquire. And now what do the Winnipeg Jets do in goal? They've signed Stuart Skinner. But ostensibly, if they were going to get a goaltender from the Sabres, it would have been Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to help with the money. Well, what happened on July 1st after the draft ended? Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen's contract kicks in with a five-team no-trade clause effective July 1st of 2026. Well, if you're Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Obviously, the first thing you're doing is calling the agent and saying, all right, we've got to do my five-team no-trade list. Number one, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Well, it was funny because we were literally waiting up till midnight. Finally, at midnight, I texted you and I said, all right, no trades kicked in. It's 12:01. I'm going to bed.
But I mean, that's he has
a very
to.
Good point. Time was of the essence if that deal was going to be made.
He has to have Winnipeg on his no-trade list. Okay, so let's just do, for sake of argument, the Sabres are going to trade for Connor Hellebuck. So Luukkonen's out, all right? And maybe the Winnipeg Jets signed Stuart Skinner thinking he was going to be the starter because they were trading Hellebuck. And maybe the Winnipeg Jets weren't taking a goalie from Buffalo now anyway. Maybe they're thinking, all right, we're going to take Mertka. We're going to take a number one pick. We're going to take Jack Quinn. We're going to take
Josh Norris.
Norris or McLeod. But now Josh Norris has a 10-team no-trade clause effective July 1st, which has to include Winnipeg as well.
Time was of the essence if they wanted to swing that deal. Yeah.
Right. So I think the Sabres are still in. Let's put it this way. I think the Sabres publicly have said multiple times that they are going with their three goalies next season. They have said it. Jarmo has said it. They have said, we're going with our three guys in Luukkonen, Lyon, and Ellis, and how much they love Ellis. Obviously, they were talking about trading for Connor Hellebuck. We know that. Mm-hmm. But that could be dead. Now, the other problem the Winnipeg Jets have is there aren't many teams left to trade for Connor Hellebuck.
No.
The Sabres would be one, I suppose, but it is kind of unusual. The Sabres have three goalies, and this is now a heavy fan-driven narrative. And the other team is who? The New Jersey Devils, I would think, would be a team looking for Connor Hellebuck. Jacob Markstrom is now down in Florida.
He's probably going to be the starter in Florida this year.
Right. So do the Winnipeg Jets think the Buffalo Sabres have better assets than the Devils do? Probably. I would assume that Mertka would be in any deal for Connor Hellebuck. It seems like Mertka is the piece the Sabres have dangled to teams. And I think that's partly a product of, A, he has a lot of potential, but B, that Sabres don't have a lot invested in Mertka yet. Radim Mertka only played a few games in Rochester. He's been in the organization 1 year. Jarmo didn't draft him. Kevin Adams drafted him, so there's not that Kevin Adams loyalty that we would see about draft picks and acquisitions. And if you want to make a deal, I always say, if you want to get something good, you got to give up something good. What's the best thing the Sabres have to give up right now? It's probably not Jack Quinn. It's either Mertka or Hellenius, and we know that they're not trading Hellenius. So no. I think what we have to see now is the decision has been made, I think, internally to stay with the three goalies if they couldn't acquire Hellebuck in the draft.
Agreed.
The fans want Hellebuck. I get that, but watch what you wish for. He's 33 and coming off an .895 save percentage, and he's been lousy for the record in the playoffs for multiple years. He's been fabulous in the regular seasons. And I look at this, too. Are we really looking, really, at goaltending as a weakness of the Buffalo Sabres after all we saw last season? And I know what happened in the playoffs. We just saw in the playoffs that goaltending is a real crapshoot in the playoffs. So Carolina won with Brandon Bussey playing games 4, 5, and 6 of the Cup Final. You know,
and the Sabres rotated their goalies at one point as well, too.
Different people, you know, the top goalies in the league, none of them were in the playoffs past round one last year. There was no Hellebuck, no Shesterkin, you know, any of them. Any of you want to name the top guys who played 15 more games? None of them.
And the Penguins also rotated their goalies as well.
Right.
You know, Stuart Skinner and Sheloff.
So to me, it's a tough position to handicap. Luukkonen has alternated good and bad years the last 4 years.
He hasn't been consistent.
And
they need a consistent Luukkonen.
And I think this would be, we're now online for this to be a bad year. Okay, so Luukkonen has to put together 2 good years in a row. Now, he can do that, you would think, behind a better team. So I think there's some of that. I think, you know, recency bias is big. And no, people, it's not the goal in Game 7 that got deflected. I'm sorry. That's not a goal. My PTSD for Lukanen is probably the Sabres' PTSD is, you know, the Morgan Geeky faux pas against Boston.
The Boston goal you from can't center have ice, that. The clear in. Yeah.
You know, yeah, but I just thought, I've said this before to you and other people, all this narrative from fans about the Sabres' goaltending. You know what? If the goal by Montreal Canadiens in Game 7 had been some nice dipsy-doo two-on-one, Demidov, Cole Caulfield, bang-bang, nobody would be saying anything about the goaltending. But it's the new hook shot, it's deflected, and he should have made that save. No, he really shouldn't have.
That's the thing. With those deflections, sometimes there's nothing you can do. It's weird, lucky bounces. It's dirty goals. So, you see that in the playoffs to win it. You know, you're right. I'm with you. I don't hang that on UPL at all. I don't hang that on the goaltending. When there's that weird bounce, as a goalie, as a defender, there is nothing you can do.
People make this point, and they're right. Here's the point, they got to Game 7 in overtime in Round 2. Imagine if they had good goaltending. Okay, do you want the Connor Hellebuck we've seen in the playoffs for the last 4 years of the playoffs at $8.5 million? I mean, Connor Hellebuck was a disaster against the St. Louis Blues in Round 1. Last season, 24-25. They won the President's Trophy. They were 5 seconds away from being eliminated in Round 1, pulled one out in double overtime, and then he couldn't survive Round 2 against the Dallas Stars. So I just think the risk factor of Connor Hellebuck is huge. Now, he'll have a lot to prove after a bad year if they were to acquire him. You know, I know everybody says, what about the Olympics? You're ignoring the Olympics. I'm not ignoring the Olympics. He's also playing behind an all-star team.
Because the Olympics really are small sample size with a lot of great players on one team.
Right, so I discount the Olympics. I discount the gold medal game. It was one game. I just can't move myself to that area based on that game. But also, I just think again, that they might be revisiting this in a little bit. They might even go to September. They don't have any urgency to do it. Winnipeg seems to have more urgency because Hellebuck doesn't seem that interested in staying. But again, it's not like trading Dylan Larkin even. It's trading a goalie. If you don't need a goalie, you're not making a trade for a goalie with $8.5 million left in his deal for 4 more years and he's 33 years old.
Right. And to add to your point about goaltending, goaltending was not the Sabres' problem in the playoffs. No. You know, I looked at it. I remember at the beginning of the playoffs, I said, you know, this team will go to the second round next. Because overall, as a unit, they did not have the experience. Obviously, when you don't make the playoffs for 15 years, you're not going to get any playoffs experience collectively. Another thing, I asked Yarmo about this last week, because we're having these moving parts, Alex Tuck in Washington, Bowen Byram's been traded to Chicago, bringing up Konstantinos, bringing up Ozlan. I feel like I've been saying that name a lot. I asked Yarmo Kekalainen, at this point, how do you, maintain the chemistry and the expectations of being a Stanley Cup contender when your roster is going to look a lot different next year, particularly forward-wise, and bring in Olin Zellweger? How do you maintain that chemistry, that expectation with new faces? And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge this year for the Sabres, is maintaining that consistency and not being a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right there. It's not too much change.
I think so, too.
But you know what, though? Before I move on to the last thing, here's my last point at Hellebuck. If you're going to spend $8.5 million for 4 years on Hellebuck, why wouldn't you? And you're worried because he's 33 now, right?
He's old in NHL years, yeah.
Why wouldn't you spend $10.5 million per year on 30-year-old Alex Tuck?
Alex Tuck,
who is one of the faces of your team. So if you're not going to pay Alex Tuck, and they didn't really offer Alex Tuck enough money even till near the end of the negotiation,
they made a last-ditch effort, yeah.
You're going to turn around and pay Connor Hellebuck until he's 37 when he's been playing lousy for the last year? I don't get it. So I'm not as convinced once the draft ended and there wasn't a flip of picks and all this. I think the Sabres may have dropped Connor Hellebuck like a bad habit. I'm not convinced this is going down.
Yeah, sometimes you got to walk away from things if it's not going to work out.
Right.
Right. All right, so moving on, we've got the NHL schedule drop next week. They're going to be doing it July 15th with a few of their marquee games, season openers, stadium series, blah, 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 that stuff. And then they drop the full schedule on the 16th at 1 o'clock. The NHL announced this yesterday. So, all right, we've discussed this as well. You know, what is your ideal opening night matchup for the Buffalo Sabres?
To me, there's only two possibilities for the Sabres opener. It has to be the Montreal Canadiens or the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's got to be one of the two. I can't imagine them opening with, you know, Ottawa or Philadelphia or
Winnipeg.
Detroit or any of those teams. But imagine the kind of pub you can push for a Buffalo-Tampa or Buffalo-Montreal opener.
The narrative would be helped immensely.
Unbelievable.
And for writing purposes, we'd want it to be at Key Bank Center. I'm totally cursing this. So that we can stay home and finish our season previews, which are going to be done right before the season begins.
Yeah.
Earlier this season, because as I said earlier, the NHL is moving to an 84-game regular season schedule and a 4-game exhibition schedule. Well, hallelujah, because sometimes, even after my first season, I said, do we really need these last two exhibition games and empty arenas driving to Pittsburgh or Columbus or somewhere? Not really.
20 years of covering this team, and there have been years where the preseason got to 7 and 8 games, and it felt
that's just monotonous.
It felt endless because a lot of the players.
And is it necessary at that point?
Well, it was almost too many young players being played. The veterans would play 2 or 3 games. You'd go on the road to, quote, cover the Sabres, and there'd be 12 Amerks in the lineup. So,
and one of the things we found last year, I think it was the last game against, we were down in Pittsburgh at PPG, and you and I looked at each other and said, this roster's already set. Why are they playing this game? That's the other thing. The teams have pretty good ideas of what they're going to, most teams. There are some exceptions where teams have pretty good ideas of what their rosters are going to look like by the time that last year was the 6th game of the preseason, was ready to go. It was just a matter of, we have to reach the roster limits this year. And you could see it kind of wore on the players as well. Like, we could have another, for lack of a better term, game that doesn't mean anything.
This is not the NFL where they start with 90 guys and they're cutting down to 53 and maybe somebody can play his way onto the roster. No, you pretty much right now, you could take a piece of paper and write out 21 of the 23 spots of the Buffalo Sabres, and maybe even all 23 without any problem. And you could do that with a lot of teams. So the preseason really became unnecessary. So now, to remind people, it's an 84-game season. Where are those extra 2 games coming from? They're coming from the team in your division you only played 3 times last year. So in the case of the Sabres last year, that was Detroit and Ottawa. They'll play them 4 times this year like everybody else.
Oh, you get an extra media meal in Detroit.
Extra media meal in Detroit is never a bad thing. Folks, the media meal in Detroit is the unquestioned champion of NHL media meals. But we do run into... It's always fun to look at the top games. You want to see when they're going to play the Habs in Tampa. You want to see when they're going to play the Leafs, the first meeting with Gavin McKenna. Everybody talks about Vegas. We'll see where Patrick Kane ends up. Is he back in Chicago?
When are the Hurricanes, the Stanley Cup champions, going to be coming to town? By the way, was your name put on the Stanley Cup for the Hurricanes? I saw that.
I was just going to say
some names that were necessary on the Stanley Cup when the etching was revealed this morning.
People may have noticed on X.
Isn't on the Stanley Cup? Let's play that game.
People may have noticed on X. I had a little bit of a tantrum this morning when I saw the Hurricanes Stanley Cup list. Tom Dundon, the owner of the Hurricanes, is one of 7 Dundons on the Stanley Cup. And that's an embarrassment and a disgrace that the NHL should not have allowed. And people are quick to say, oh, other teams have done that. And yes, they have. Except in Florida, Vinny Viola's son, whose name is on the Stanley Cup, was also the vice president of hockey operations.
He's a team employee, right?
Yes. You know, and the Dundon family has included their 7-year-old on the Stanley Cup, apparently. So,
Seven.
Yeah, so that's a disgrace. The league should not have allowed.
No.
And they're going to talk to me about the Foleys, and they're going to talk to me about in Vegas and the Violas in Florida. That shouldn't be allowed. I don't understand it. I don't understand how it happened. You know, and people, you know, think about it. If the Sabres ever won the Stanley Cup, Kim Pegula's name would be on the Stanley Cup.
Laura Pegula's name would be on the Stanley Cup. Because they're involved in the day-to-day operations of the team.
The NHL's
got to set the boundary here.
Yeah,
the boundaries are healthy.
A pox on Carolina. Unbelievable. People in Buffalo don't like Carolina anyway. I happen to love the team. I think Rod Brindamore should be in the Hall of Fame already.
I like going to Raleigh. Raleigh reminds me a lot of my hometown in Maryland.
The arena in Raleigh, the fans are unbelievable. The team was great, well-deserved to win the cup. I don't know what in the world the owner's thinking. By the way, ask people in Portland, Oregon about Tom Dundon, the owner of the Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's running roughshod over the Portland Trailblazers right now in the NBA.
He's tearing money out of the Trailblazers. It's not a good scene there.
Tom Dundon, I got no use for you, pal. Sorry, ridiculous.
Well, we're coming up on time. Let's end it by the schedule reveal is next week. What's the one road trip that you're looking forward to for the 2026-27 season?
Strike me down. It's the final year of the Saddle Dome in Calgary. The final time.
Great old barn.
The final time in that old barn that once hosted the Winter Olympics. The final time over that godforsaken catwalk into the press box. You know, but the arena in Calgary they're replacing with will be beautiful by all accounts. Mm-hmm. But when you're closing an NHL arena, we haven't had too many of those recently. You know, we had Joe Louis Arena. We've had Nassau Coliseum. But closing the Saddle Dome in Calgary will be one that will be talked about much of the season. So it'll be interesting to see when the Sabres get that one, if it's early, later in the dead of winter like it seems to be. But that's kind of one I have circled because, you know, that's a rink that's dated to the mid-80s, and there's none of them left like it, and there won't be any more when it's gone.
It's one of the barns, and I really enjoyed going to Calgary. It's loud. It's cavernous. I did the catwalks. You won't. I took that responsibility on for you when I went to Calgary as well. So, but you'll have to do one last walk across the catwalks and videotape it as well. I've got two circled on my wish list. I want to go back to Utah. I really enjoyed Salt Lake City, and I found the Utah fans to be so passionate. The place was full. The players loved it. I'm a fan of Tusky as well. Sorry, Sabretooth, but Tusky's right up there with my mascots. But I really enjoyed, as the kids say, the hockey vibe in Salt Lake City. And I want to see how that continues to proliferate and grow. And they're renovating Delta Center as well. I hope they don't move the press box because it was perfect. It was perfect in the concourse.
They did the lower level last summer, and this summer they've done the whole upper level, complete renovation of that building. They're getting ready for, you know, the Winter Olympics of 2034 will have a problem.
Right, right. And the other one I've circled, and we're probably going to flip a coin on this because we both like it, Madison Square Garden. That is, to me, I loved the environment. It felt like I was walking into an NHL nightclub. It was fantastic.
Only one trip to Madison Square Garden this year.
We're going to flip a coin for that.
Circle your calendars. The schedule comes out Thursday, July 16th at 1 p.m. So that's going to be the time you're going to learn all 84 games and where and when and the road trips and the home opener. So it should be quite interesting. In the interim, of course, you can follow all the coverage here at the Buffalo News and BuffaloNews.com. Who knows what might happen, what may bring us back to the podcast here if the Sabres do some of the things we talked about already here, something big happens. But when you look for big news, the Buffalo News will have it for you. And the schedule is one that right now is the biggest news coming up here in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that. I'm Mike Harrington, news sports columnist. She's Rachel Lindsay, Sabres beat reporter. As always, we appreciate you listening and watching.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.